So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Daniel chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 8. Daniel chapter 1. There's a pew Bible in front of you, the black hardcover Bible. It's page 1243. We're going to be talking about the life of Daniel the next couple of weeks. So this Wednesday, next Wednesday, I'll be speaking. And so I'm starting a two-part series. Since I have 2 weeks, this fit perfectly. So looking at the life of Daniel. As you can guess by now, Pastor Slagle is not here. He had surgery, dental surgery, oral surgery today. And so he told me he'll be watching. So hopefully he'll return. He should be back on Sunday. So he'll be back Sunday so we can, you'll hear him again. He'll be okay. But these next couple of months, this will be me. So we'll look at the life of Daniel. I want to talk to you a little bit about American history and presidents that we love. And, some people in history did such great things that everybody likes them, both sides, right? And there's a handful of historic figures like this. And one of the historic figures, we refer to him as Honest Abe. And Honest Abe, keeping the Union together during the Civil War, eliminating slavery. I went to the Abraham Lincoln Museum in Springfield, and it gives the history, and there were four people that ran for president, and he got the most votes, and the stand that he took, and, mustering together votes, he wasn't too far for one side or too far for the other. He found a middle ground, and then he had enough provisions to eventually change the way the United States was operating, but he took a lot of skill, and someone had to build up trust. And the way he built trust is, we know his nickname is Honest Abe. He was famous for his integrity. And, he being around people that disagreed with him over time and being able to relate to people who are different than him. And this was the skill of the politician that was Abraham Lincoln. But long before he was famous, before he was even a lawyer, he was a shopkeeper. And he wasn't great at business. But he did earn the loyalty of his customers by how he acted and his integrity. And the story tells us that one time he overcharged someone, a lady, he overcharged a lady 3 cents, and he felt terrible about the extra 3 cents that he had. And so he walked 6 miles to go give her the 3 cents back, and he came back late at night, dangerous conditions, but his conscience weighed heavy about those 3 cents. This is what we call him Honest Abe, is that he's someone of integrity and trust. And integrity is who you are on the inside. Integrity isn't always immediately seen. But you are who you are when there's no one else around. I think about the biblical word for integrity. Proverbs 11:3. It says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." The integrity of the upright. And the idea of integrity itself is an upright position. You know, someone that stands up straight and tall. And the idea is that they're straightforward with you. It's like, we all have our own customs and traditions, the handshake, right? And what happens if you really give a man a handshake and he gives you something kind of wimpy? Or he looks down, you know? You kind of wonder about the person. Like, is this person, there's something they're not telling me? Right? And because their posture is not forthright, I guess we would say. And so that's the kind of the idea of this verse, is that if you're a person of integrity, you're upright in who you are. And then on the other hand, the person that you can't trust is perverse or twisted, I guess is another way to translate that, and that they're not straightforward with you. There's something that they have to hide or be deceptive about. And so that's our word for integrity. And the Bible says in Proverbs, "Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Which means that who you are on the inside will come out eventually. You know, sometimes we say things that are harsh, and we think, why did I say that? I'll tell you why you said that, because that was on the inside. You know, it wasn't when an alien flew into the planet and took over your body temporarily. It made you say something mean and crazy. That was already there, okay? So for me to fix that, it's not just I need to work on what I say. I need to work on what's inside me and how I feel and how I react on the inside, okay? The reality is just a manifestation that's already on the inside. Now, our human nature, our fallen nature is for us to cut corners. And, you know, in our heads, it's easy to calculate when we want something difficult. How do I get around this? How do I get through this quickly? What are the shortcuts? What's the easiest way? what will be noticed, what won't be noticed, who's looking, and in our attempt to find an easier path, often we fail to live lives of integrity or honor before God. And, you know, what happens when we lack integrity? It's going to affect family, won't it? You ever have somebody in your family not tell you the truth? You know, how many marriages are affected by one spouse that you just can't count on, right? And that destroys the marriage. Or you ever have a friend that just, like, lied to you, or they stabbed you in the back and acted like nothing happened? What happened to that friendship? What about CEOs that are dishonest? You know, there's a recent failure in the news, and this company took shortcuts. What happens when companies take shortcuts? Well, it's going to catch up to them at some point, right? Now, in this situation, the government will bail them out, and they'll be fine. But I had to get that in there. But anyway, it happens a lot of time, right? A lot of times stuff catches up with a person, right? Or how many times someone's respected in society, and then something comes out about them, and they're not who they claim to be. They're not the family person that they would want people to think. You know, the image of them going to hospitals isn't who they really are, right? And then all this dirt comes out, and you realize who they really are. And so your integrity has a way of catching up with you, doesn't it? And it tends to come back, and it can sabotage who you are and what you do. So it's important to know that God watches. A little bit of background on the book of Daniel. So Israel had a time when they had kings that led, remember? And you had Saul, and then David, then Solomon, and then his son is harsh. And so because of his harshness, the kingdom is divided. And then you have the northern and the southern kingdoms. You have the 10 northern tribes, and they fall into idolatry. They're warned. You have the minor prophets at the end of the Bible, the major prophets warning them. They ignore the warnings. They get carried off into captivity by Assyria. But now there's the two southern tribes of the Templars, and they're also warned. And they continue on in idolatry. They're not really doing the right thing. And as a result of the judgment, that southern two tribes get carried off by Babylon. And this would have been a group that Daniel was carried off in the second exile. And so his countrymen have disobeyed the people around him. You should be able to count on. You can't count on them. There's his excuse, right? Following God isn't really helping anyone. You know, this pagan country seems to be having all the success. It's an enormous empire, and everything they do seems to be working, and they're doing things the opposite of what he's always been trained. So wouldn't it make sense just to fit in and go along with what the group is doing? Wouldn't that make the sense of what we should do? And you know, if you look at the nation, you don't really see many people standing out or doing something different. Most of the young people that carry off are just going along. And only four young bright spots, these four young men, they're going to make a critical decision as young people, and they're going to change the course of world history. A young person that changes the course of world history because they can dare to be different, and they're going to keep their integrity and maintain it. Okay? So when the Babylonians come in, they carry off what every society needs. Young, intelligent, industrious people who they can use for leadership. Every country wants this, right? And so they're going to harvest these young people. They're going to give them new names. They want to change their identity. They don't want them to be tied to the past. They want to be loyal to them, to their own culture and their own customs. That's what they care about. And so the pressure will be on. Will Daniel do his pragmatic, or will he stand out? That's the big question. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to look at the scripture, that you would use it to truly speak to us. And may your word influence our hearts. I pray that each one of us would realize that the battle isn't just back then in Daniel's time, but it's just as much today. And just like he had influence back then, we can have influence too, Lord. But help us to have the faith to trust you and to live each day in a way that pleases you alone. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to our text, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, and I'll read until verse 20. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank, therefore requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath anointed your meat and your drink, for why should you see your face worse, lacking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endangered, my head to the king. And he's not speaking metaphorically here. This could be it. He'd make this wrong choice. Then said Daniel to Malzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Who is thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant." So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Malzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and gave them understanding in all visions and dreams. And at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all of them was found men like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realms. So we have the story of Daniel and his friends carried off into captivity, and one of the early tests is that they have to eat the prescribed diet of people in their position, the king's meat, and they talk to the person overseeing them if they can deviate, and he's like, "This isn't good for my health. I want to be around, and so we can't be making changes." And so they give him a 10-day challenge. He has 10 days and see if we're not healthier. He gives them a chance. They eat a different meal plan, and God blesses them, and they are healthier. And when all is said and done, they end up before the king, and the king's asking him questions because he wants to kind of know where they're at. And they don't know anybody else, and they're running rings on everybody else. All the people that should know everything, they're much more intelligent and much more knowledgeable then. And so they really stand out for what they're doing. And this is an example of someone that God blesses. You know, the Lord wants us to have integrity. And that's a decision that we have to make every day, isn't it? And there's many areas of our life where we struggle, you know. And, maybe one area you're all over it, but this area over here, boy, this is hard. Maybe, you know, maybe it's homework. That's like the hard thing. I got to be consistent, someone can count on me. It could be just, a lot of times, little things, right? It could be hard. Just showing up, just listening consistently. For some people, that's hard. Just getting the little things done that other people count on you. But having integrity is something that honors the Lord. And we're looking at the life of Daniel. In this passage, I see 4 principles about what it means to have integrity. We're going to see 4 principles from the life of Daniel in chapter 1 about what does it mean to have integrity. One principle that defines integrity. Integrity is doing what is right, even when it costs you. Integrity is doing what's right, even when it costs you. When Daniel had made up his mind, it says in verse 8, he had a purpose in his heart. He already knew what he was about, okay? And it didn't matter what it was going to cost him. He was all in, right? He wasn't doing the math. Oh, will this help me? Will this hurt me? He made up his mind well in advance. And it didn't matter where he was. It didn't matter who was with him. If it was 10 people patting him on the back, if it was 0 people, it didn't matter. He already knew what he was about. And I find a lot of times this is true of people that are leaders, whichever type. I mean, even bad leaders know what they're about, right? They'll get punished and keep doing it. But if you're someone that makes a difference, and hopefully in a positive way, and you're a leader, then it shouldn't matter what crowd you're in. And it's interesting. When you have someone with integrity and they're in a crowd that doesn't agree with them, they're going to make the crowd uncomfortable. I'm just going to tell you that. Because they're not changing. Because they know who they are. They know what they believe in. And this was Daniel. And even his boss warning him, this could cost you everything. It doesn't matter. Okay? He's not doing any calculating here. He already knows where he's at and what he's going to do and what he won't do. And even the king's mate, this would seem like a small thing, but for him, this is his relationship before God. and so he can't do it. Now, why about eating this king's meat is so awful and terrible? Have you ever wondered this? Why is it so bad to eat the king's meat? The Bible never directly explains to us why this is so bad. There's three possible reasons, and I'll give you mine last, because I think it makes the most sense. So people think that it broke the Old Testament dietary code. Maybe. That's a possibility. It never says that. And I don't know if the dietary code was directly made you healthy, per se, because then later Jesus tells, or God tells Peter to take and eat. So if the Old Testament dietary code was just to make you healthier, then why is God telling people to eat stuff that's unhealthy in the New Testament? So I think it has to be more than just he ate healthier food, you know. So I shy away from that. I don't think it's that one. Some people think that the reason why he couldn't eat this meat is because it was offered to some kind of pagan worship or idolatry. I also doubt this, because the vegetable diet that he ate would have also been offered to the same deity. So just getting away from the meat itself, I don't know that makes a big difference. So I doubt that idea too. The third reason, and I think this is the correct one, eating the king's meat was a direct act of worship to the king. It was treating the king as if he was God. Because it talks about it's the king's meat. And so I think it doesn't mention the vegetables are the king's. It's not the king's vegetables, right? It's the king's meat. So I think something about this was some kind of act of worship to this king and treating him like he was some kind of divine being. And Daniel knows, you know, the word Daniel is God is my judge, right? So Daniel knows this isn't a divine being. God is the divine being, right? And so in his heart, to have integrity, he cannot eat this. And I believe that's why it's wrong. But the guy cannot do this, but everyone else is. I mean, this is difficult, and he's going to pay a price. And this could have been the end for him. You know, we have no way of him knowing in advance how this was all going to turn out. But where's everybody else? You know, where's all his friends from Israel? You know, what are they doing? Well, they're gobbling down the meat, right? And I'm guessing they didn't think twice, right? Because they look around and they say, you know, when in Rome, that's what you got to do, right? Everyone else is doing it. What are we supposed to do? But that's not Daniel. I'm going to show you my favorite Chinese proverb. You ready for this? The man that sticks up is the one that gets beaten down. This is kind of a sad proverb. But the idea is that when you're different than the people around you, you're going to take the fire or the flak, I guess. And that's what Daniel's willing to be, right? He's mocking himself, right? You go to a new place, there's new rules, what do? You're supposed to keep quiet, right? Because you don't want to get picked on? That's not Daniel, right? He's just going to do it. And so he's willing to stand up. And we need to make our own commitment in our own heart. We need to say what we believe, okay? We don't need to put our finger in the wind and see which, put our finger up and see which way the wind is blowing, do we? I hope that you're a person that is a person of conviction. I hope that you're a leader, not a follower. You're not taking a cue from anybody else. I hope that you're willing to follow what God puts in your heart, and you're willing to do what's right, and let the chips fall where they will. And it's up to God what happens. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I'm not going to sit here and try to do human calculations. Okay, I hope that that's where you're at. So, moving on. Daniel was somewhat of integrity because he's able to do what's right, even when it cost him. Number two. Integrity shines when life gets hard. Integrity shines when life gets hard. You know, you don't know what someone's about until they face difficult times, do you? And it's easy to believe things and say things that are great. You know, I think of people like Peter. Oh, I would never forsake you, Jesus. Oh, I'm here. I'm next to you, man. I am so loyal. I'm amazing. I've got this. And what happens when his faith is tested, right? He curses Christ. Right? And then later he has that guilt. He sees Christ and he realizes, yeah. When push came to shove, I wasn't really who I said I was. Integrity. You know, when times are difficult, you find out who really believed in God and who just went through the motions and said all the right things. And that's the same with us. You know, a lot of times we're tempted, whether it's at work, could be at school, even at Christian school, there's kids that do the wrong thing. Did you know this? It happens. There's no perfect place. There's even people that sit in homeschool. Did you know this? I've been in those before, and I was the one. But even in the perfect circumstance, who's going to be the one that does what's right? You know? We all face testing. In our culture, we've kowtowned to political correctness. Somebody can say something off the wall and crazy, and everyone's like, oh, yes, of course, that's wonderful. And everyone just agrees. Nobody wants to be intolerant, right? The one sin is being intolerant. As a matter of fact, we're intolerant of people who are intolerant, because that's not accepted. But we've got to be tolerant of everything. Well, certain things, anyway. And when one person says it, and all the lemmings line up and say, let's all jump off this cliff together. And, a handful of extreme people run our society. The average person doesn't believe a lot of the crazy stuff that you hear in politics. The average person doesn't think that way. But they don't have the conviction to stand on, do they? Life gets hard, they just cave. And you know what? I think in hard times in our life, we really prove who we are, and we really set a record. I think about Job. If you were to meet Job, what would you talk to him about? Would you talk to him about how rich he was, how many camels, how many houses, how many kids? Would you talk to Job about that? No. You know what we talked to Joe about? Like, how bad was it? Like, I bet you felt pretty terrible, didn't you? Yeah, it was bad, he would say. What about those friends you had? He'd be like, oh, they were not friends at all at that time. Right? And he'd be like, yeah, I've had some of those, maybe. Or I've been that guy before. But that was the defining moment in Job's life, wasn't it? When God tested his health. And that was defining of him. And what happened in all that time? All the pressure his friends put on him, all the pressure his wife put on him, what happens? Does he ever curse God? He does not. He never cursed God. And you know what? We look to him today as an example of someone that endured hardship with grace. To this day, he's remembered that way. And he'll always be remembered that way. Because in a time of difficulty, he never gave up. He never lost his faith. And so even in the hardest of times, our integrity will shine through. As believers, we need to stand out. Now, we don't have to go out of our way to stand out, okay? I don't have to put on crazy costumes or put on 75-word bumper stickers to get people's attention. All I have to do is live by the Bible, because it is so anti to what all of our society is. If I just act normal and I stand for what's right, I'm going to get pushback, right? In the world, you'll have condemnation, Christ said. And so, if I don't do what's right, I will stand out. I will face hardship. We need to make up our minds we're not going to back down. Do you shine where you're at? At work, do you shine as a light for Christ? Or school? Are you the person that's like, I'm not copying the test? Which makes everyone else uncomfortable, right? Because then there's a standard that they're held to, right? When they put pressure on you, when you're in the middle, it sticks up, right? Are you that person? Do you stick by that? Other people don't treat you right. You just kind of fall to their level, or you say, you know what, this is hard, but I'm going to keep going. Is this going to show you where I really am on the inside? I hope you're just someone that's not afraid to do things that are hard. And number three, principle of integrity. Integrity is based on your trust in God. Integrity is based on your trust in God. So it's not up to a person. Okay, so Daniel is like, the cavalry is not coming. There's no backup here, right? If I do the wrong thing, wouldn't I get ahead in this society? I mean, you do the math, right? If I go along with this, I can get promoted. I could be rich beyond my dreams. I could be powerful. I could be famous. What's not to like about this life, right? It's the simple thing to do. And yet he knows in his heart of hearts, at the end of the day, the one that will bring me success is God. And the one that you cannot necessarily see or calculate, but who shows up, is God. I don't know. Maybe you grew up hearing stories about the Old Testament. Maybe Abraham and how he had faith. And maybe that's who Daniel's thinking of. I don't know which Old Testament character he's thinking of. But in his heart of hearts, he knows the reason why I do the right thing is because it's an act of faith. But if I do what's right, that God will make things work the way they're supposed to. And my life is lived in faith, not by sight itself. And so he's going to stick with what's right no matter what. God is powerful whether I see him or not, and God will show up. And at the end of the day, God does show up in a mighty way, right? He appears healthier. and no one knows what to make of it. How can this be? And you know, he's made up his mind, and his trust in God will pay off. And I hope that's us, okay? I hope that we realize that God sees all of us. God is all places. And the Bible says that night is the same to God as day. God sees it day, God sees it night, it's all the same to him. Nothing is hidden from God. And sometimes we're content to impress people. But ultimately, our judgment will come from God. That's Daniel's name. God is my judge, right? And so, whether in this life or the next, I'll give an account of what I've done. And you know, God will evaluate me. God will reward me. God will, he's the one that holds me up. It's his standard that I am measured by. And so, what people think is not the biggest deal. And so, he has his focus in the right place. I wonder if that's you today. Are you a person that's manipulating circumstances, telling half-truths, taking shortcuts because you've done the math and you think you can get ahead somehow? I hope that you say, you know what, other people may not see this. And maybe it's a small thing to somebody else, but in my heart, before God, this is an area I have to address. And whether it's returning money that you borrowed from somebody, maybe it's turning in something, whether you're going to get in trouble or not, maybe if you borrowed something, giving it back to the person. You know, it's funny to me how often in life, when you do the small things right, how many times that comes back and helps you later, doesn't it? Or people remember that about you. Yeah. And they'll intrinsically trust you in the future. But it's important to realize, doing the right thing is an act of faith. And I'm doing this, and I'm trusting that God will make this work out, whether it advances me this very moment or not. But I trust in God and his system of justice, and that he will deal favorably and kindly with me. All right, that's number three. Number four. Integrity will give you a platform of influence on others. You think about all the talented people that there are in this massive empire. Giant. In world history, like the third biggest in world history, and this is before industrialization, so they had the logistical problems they would have had to deal with are much more severe than what would have come along later. So perhaps the biggest of all time, if you think about it that way. One of the most organized. This is a huge system. This is a system that just gobbles up small countries like it's nothing. So this king has to know all different things and be aware. He's got all kinds of advisors. He's got all kinds of important people, intelligent people, people that know what's going on in life. And so of all the people he talks to, who does he talk to? It's Daniel and his three friends, right? And he's asking wise questions, and they know all the answers. He just can't believe this. And so people know 10 times. Does that mean he asked him at least 10 questions? Maybe. 10 times 4, I mean, you do the math. That's a lot of talking, right? And so where is this great king whose attention is? It's on these people. And why? Because they sit up, because they're different. And when we are different, the world has to take notice because they're just not used to this. This is just such a different way of thinking and living. And a lot of times they can't imagine the things that we say and do without even thinking because they don't operate this way, right? Our whole way of life is different. And so I encourage you, never sacrifice your testimony just to fit in. You know, you think people are going to like you. But they have people that fit in already. That doesn't mean anything. It's when you stand out, right? That's when you make a difference. And that's when the world sits up and takes notice. So let's not be afraid to stand out. I met a man years ago, and I lived in Pennsylvania. And this guy worked in a large pharmaceutical company. And his job was to, he kept track of large quantities of expensive pills. And the pills were worth thousands of dollars in the street. And he kept track of giant pallets of these, so, I don't know, millions of dollars of pills he'd keep track of. And it's an integrity thing, you know, if the pills get mislaid, I mean, he could go to jail. It's this severe, right, depending what happened. And he comes to work one day, and they're going through all the inventory, and they're missing a giant pallet of high-end, pain-killing prescription drugs. They're, like, gone. And everyone's in a panic. He's in charge. And they say, well, just, you know, we'll turn up. Just sign this sheet that you have seen it. If you don't, you could lose your job. You know, potential prosecution, all the other things. And he's a believer, right? He says, well, as a believer, I can't cut corners. I can't lie. And so he told the people, I can't sign the paper that it's there. I'm going to mark that it's not there and sign it. And they warn him. And even his boss comes to him, the higher up in the company. He says, listen, we all have our off days. Things can happen. We know it ain't you. If you sign it, we'll all understand. It won't be a big deal. He tells the boss no. He marks that there's a pallet missing, and he signs it. And he thinks he's done. He goes home to his wife, and he tells her, I think I'm done. What happens the next day? Like, I don't know. His mind is just whatever. And the next day he comes into work, and everyone's happy and excited, and people are running to see him. And they run to him and say, guess what happened last night? He's like, what happened? I guess they found that someone had put a pallet and stored it in the wrong area. And the missing pallet was there. And so it turned out to be okay. The pallet was not where it should have been, so he was accurate in what he was saying. But he said, after he did this, he said people started coming to talk to him because they just couldn't believe he would do what he did. And he said, I had such a testimony for Christ after that. And there was such a trust there because people knew that I wasn't going to change just to fit in. They knew that I was going to say what I really believed. And so it set him up as a person of testimony and integrity. And, you know, that's one example of one believer, but that's who we need to be, right? People should know that they can count on us and we're not going to change to fit in, right? We're going to say that we truly believe is right because we trust in God and the system of justice. I hope that's who we are. I hope we're living by God's values, not the world's values. I hope that we stick with what's right. And, you know, I don't have any scripture for this, so this is Michael Potter's opinion here. But I feel like God marks people that are credible, and like wherever they go, people just kind of trust them. Because I've seen this with other believers. Wherever they go, people just automatically trust them. Yeah, whatever they say, they just like believe them. Because I think there's a sincerity that God puts in our heart if we're believers before the Lord, and you know, the Lord gives us credibility. We don't give ourselves credibility. I don't think it works that way. But the Lord can mark your life, and you know, people will soften to you and take you seriously. I think if you're someone that the Lord works in their life and you have the Holy Spirit in there, that can come out. And so I hope that's who you are as a person. I'm going to wrap this up now. In conclusion, I wonder how you're doing individually. I hope that you're not someone that lacks integrity. Is there a specific area in your life, maybe, that you've let go? Maybe you didn't go in a lot of areas, but there's this one area and it's kind of hard for you, or it might hurt someone's feelings over here, and so we take another shortcut, or maybe we're not as industrious as we should be, or upfront with our work, or whatever else. There's an area that you need attention. Maybe you're like Daniel, and you know, there's no one around you doing the right thing. Maybe you're the only person that takes a short break. I don't know. But I hope that you're going to make that decision in your heart, that at the end of the day, God sees, and God knows him. And God can exalt my humility, and God can judge me when I'm not doing what I know is right. And I hope that's where your heart is. And I just want you in your own heart to take assessment of yourself and where you're at. And are we doing things to please the Lord? Are we putting God first? Or are we looking for easier ways to do things? I hope that's not who you are. Let's bow our heads for a second. You know, this is a sermon that I really preach to myself, and I think we all have areas that are struggle areas. We need God's help and strength to overcome those areas. And I just wonder if anyone here, and maybe in your own heart, there's an area that you know is not what it should be, and you realize that, and the Lord's been speaking to you, and I don't know what it is. Maybe the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you, but there's an area that you haven't really been living in a way that pleases the Lord first. I have to pray for you. If you can just lift your hand for 1 second so I can pray for you, no looking around. All right, thank you. We got several hands. Anyone else want to raise their hand? Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. All right, maybe you're here, and maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've never been born again. Maybe, you know, if they were to come back today, you don't know where you'd go. You don't have the assurance in your heart, and that's you. Can I just pray for you? Can you lift your hand up for 1 second? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example of Daniel. Help us to be like Daniel, trusting in you each day. I pray that even the little things in life, Lord, that we'd reflect your image in how we act and who we act, how we treat other people, Lord, and that our lives would be marked with honesty and integrity. And Lord, I pray that we'd stand out from this world, we'd be salt and light, an example to others, that we could point them to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.